Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Willie Morales. On today's show, I have Aaron Norris, Vice President of Market Insights at Preston Property Rate. I hope I did, but if not, I'm going to have to edit that out.
All right.
Yeah, no, so how are you? So you were a former New Yorker.
Yes, I have some deep family roots in New York. My grandmother was from Brooklyn. My great-grandfather, Benson, he was part of the church, Trinity Church on Wall Street. So I have just had a very long love affair with New York. I lived there for 7 years in my 20s, got smacked around. Nobody does it like New York, man.
It's true, right? Isn't that the case? So going back to your roots, when you were younger, were you always entrepreneurial? Was that something that you had in your blood, or did that come later as you got older?
It definitely came later in life. I started flipping houses at 5 with dad, you know, working for a quarter in peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and his flips. But, I grew up in doing some really ugly rehabs with dad and didn't think that was too sexy. So I was actually in the arts, and that's how I ended up in New York City. And in between gigs, I fell on Wall Street doing merger and acquisition presentations and fell in love with data. And, you know, I ended up coming back to California in 04, I believe it was. And I wasn't even going to work with my dad, but I came back. I got my MBA, started working on hard money, started real estate investing. So yeah, like I went from the arts into real estate and now into the data game. So it's been a crazy journey, but that's one of my missions, is just to share real estate and how life-changing it is. It's pretty great.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because we're going to segue into that, but you know, so now, like I said, you did hard money, you're a mortgage officer, research, and now you're VP of Property Radar. So what is Property Radar for some of my listeners that might not know what that is?
Sure. And especially in New York, you wouldn't have been able to use us. By the time this likely airs, we will be national. We've been in the 5 states, California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, and Arizona for some time. Sean O'Toole was flipping houses in 05 and started to get a little uncomfortable. So he launched Foreclosure Radar in 06 and created a tool that the vast majority of trustee sale buyers, so those buying foreclosures at the courthouse steps, use Property Radar, and he's helped close billions of dollars in leads, but it follows every stage of the foreclosure process in the 5 states. When we go national, we'll cover pre-foreclosure activity and foreclosures, but not every stage of the foreclosure process. But it basically marries people, property, and mortgage data. So real estate professionals, whether it's mortgage, investor, realtor, or even home services, can identify leads. So we've got email addresses, phone numbers, and you can get very specific on whatever niche you decide to chase.
No, that's great. So when you saw this possibility of Property Radar, how and why did you come up with it though? What was it that some of these other search engines didn't have that you were searching for?
Great question. So I met Sean O'Toole, the CEO of Property Radar, because an event with the family business, the Norris Group that I was part of, we used to have, we still do have an event called I Survive Real Estate, where we brought together leaders from all over the country in different facets of the real estate space. And Sean was one of our experts. He created Foreclosure Radars because here in California, things were getting a little crazy. The thing with liar loans, and he saw the writing on the wall, and he has a technology background. So he built a tool that gave a lot, he democratized the data when it comes to foreclosure. As a courthouse trustee sale buyer back in, let's say, 2000, you had to pay like thousands of dollars for a list of this information for trustee sale. If you were serious, you were paying thousands of dollars per county, where what he did for under $100 a month, you have access to every phase of the foreclosure process. So he completely changed. Not all investors will like that, but he really changed the data game when it came to buying foreclosures. So we were also a longtime user at the Norris Group of Property Radar from a hard money perspective. So following people who were doing for flipping, I can identify because of the data that's available via public records. So he came up with the tool because it was much needed. It democratizes the data to where data isn't just for Wall Street anymore. Main Street can leverage it to get a lot more savvy in their business.
No, that's great. And so, you know, and the thing is too, Aaron, back in a few years ago, maybe even longer, you know, people, and you probably heard this, oh, go to the courthouse steps and try to get the data, or go to the courthouse to get data. And, you know, if you're a full-time investor trying to get into part-time real estate, who has that time? And then for you to go to the courthouse, if you're miles away from the courthouse, this is pretty much at your fingertips. So will you cover all 50 states? Eventually, right? That'd be great. So the hardest thing for investors is to find deals. You know that, mm-hmm. right? So can we look, for example, like for absentee homeowners, that always seems like to be the number one list that everybody goes to.
Not only that, that's baby steps for what we do. I actually train nationwide. I teach real estate investors, realtors, and mortgage professionals. I get them to dream with data. And it sounds super cheesy, but a lot of people just don't understand what kind of data sets are available. So if I stop my lips at absentee owners, shame on me. What if it's an absentee owner out of state? You know, if I'm in Oklahoma and I've got a home that I inherited in, you know, in Harlem and don't know, you know, what kind of activity is going on out there, you know, if I inherited it, I might not care as much. I might not know about the legislative process out there and all the nonsense going on. So there's a lot of opportunity for the locals who understand how to leverage data. I could target people over a certain age, because if you're over 65, typically, statistically, you're a net seller of real estate, meaning somebody who ages, they get rid of more real estate than they purchase. So if there's so many different demographics that you can layer onto the data on top of absentee, that makes it so much more interesting.
Yeah, well, that's the key, is just to trying to find that data, because, you know, and when I looked at your website, I saw also that we could use it to find out the mortgage and loan balance. How did you come up with that? That's a great idea, in my opinion, because then you you can narrow down your list of who you want to target and who you should target.
Yeah, depending on how much equity they have, that's one of my favorites. So if I'm doing an absentee owner list, you could say, you know what, I only want to reach out to people that have an estimated 50% equity and who over the age of 55. You know, maybe they're tired of tenants, toilets, and trash. And because they have so much equity, maybe they could do something really flexible with me. Maybe they could carry the paper. Maybe they could do some version of seller financing. That's where the data.
I love those words, seller financing. I love that.
So having that all in one place, people data too, being able to find creative ways to contact them. As a lender, one of my favorite things was to do is, a lot of people have heard of the rule of seven in marketing, where it takes somebody 7 touches before they do business with you. Depending on who you talk to now, it's anywhere between 23 and 70. And as a small business, who has that kind of time? But if you can touch people in multiple channels and they're highly qualified suspects, you know, people who are highly targeted already, I can touch them on social media. I can email them. I can call them. I can do direct mail. And if I do that all within short succession, it might be a lot more powerful and memorable compared to your competition, who might just be pulling a basic absentee list and they only have one shot because they're spending too much money marketing to a much larger broad list instead of you, the pro, whittling it down and talking to the same people in multiple channels, multiple times. It makes it better.
It definitely makes sense, because you're right. Sometimes I know I used to do this, Aaron, where I would send out a list of a couple of hundred names, a couple of thousand names, and I wasn't targeting anything. I didn't really narrow anything down, like you said, to equity, loan amount, 55 and over. So that's great that you could target certain age groups and certain demographics. So I saw on the website that you guys do have a free trial. How long is that free trial for?
It's 3 days, and I would highly, highly, highly recommend, if you do that, sign up for a one-on-one. Our support team is awesome. When I first signed up for Property Radar, I think it was 7 years ago, I spent 15 minutes on the phone with Kim. She's in charge of support. And in 15 minutes, I told her what I wanted to do, and I never bugged her again. I was able to figure out exactly what I wanted. So some of it is sort of dreaming up before you get on the call. Play a little bit. Explore, figure out there's over 200 data fields in the program. So depending on your specific niche, it can be very different what you're trying to accomplish. So talking to somebody who really knows a product can plug you in a lot faster, and it's one-on-one. So you get to ask all the questions you want.
No, that's great. So in other words, we could target if we want, is there a list on, let's say, for sale by owners? Is that a possible list that we could find, or
no, but
that's harder because of, you don't know who's really putting up a property for sale. Does my question make any sense at all?
Yeah, we don't pull in for sale by owner. We have listed and not listed, but we have all the information for off-market. Off-market is going to be the, So off-market just meaning that anybody who's not currently listed, you can pull and you can, you know, whittle it down absentee versus owner-occupied. You can, you know, cover a percentage of equity. You know, there's a lot of different things that you can layer on. But as far as FSBOs, you could always, you know, go to Google and find somebody an address that is for sale by owner and target them more strategically. But I think the magic is going to be unlisted. Anything listed on Zillow isn't exactly a secret anymore.
No, I agree. I remember I was looking at I think it was a webinar or something on Facebook, and it's to what you just said. You know, if it's unlisted on Zillow or Trulia or Craigslist, well, it's not really off market, like you said. Everybody knows about it. And you know, you're going to have all these realtors and brokers going after them to try.
My nephew lived in my neighborhood. He lived around the corner and they listed a FSBO. And he got inundated by realtors saying, "Hey, do you want to list?" He's like, "That was sort of me. The point of me listing it for myself is I didn't want to work with you because they were trying to save some money." But yeah. Remember that Zillow and Redfin are in the top 15 most visited real estate sites in the universe. So yeah, when it ends up on there, not so much. But you know, maybe Craigslist every once in a while, you can find one.
I barely hear Craigslist anymore. I mean, it's always now, like you said, Zillow, Trulia, or now Facebook Marketplace is the latest thing I'm hearing and all that. Can we target tax liens? Is that something that you guys might do in the future?
In the future, it is on the radar. Okay. That's a little on the nose, but it is on a radar of things that we are trying to incorporate. But yeah, we're going to go national and then probably tackle that sometime next year.
When will you go national? At the time of this recording, this is November, 14th, 15th, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. When do you think you might go national, all 50 states?
This week, actually. So really? By Friday, we will be live. We just got out of beta. And we're not new, you know, we've been around for over, you know, a decade. So we've got a lot of history. It's built by investors for investors. So it's
going to make it easier. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool that I think the dynamic lists are something that people just will really get excited about. If how dynamic lists work. So I mentioned the 65 and older, say somebody turns 65, it could be added to my list and I can get it set up to text me or send me an email saying, "Hey, here's a new potential lead." So you're not always pulling new lists. It's dynamic. And then with automations, there's
so you could automate what you want to do in terms of who you're looking for, type of property, and all those metrics that we look for.
Wow. Yeah. So say you only want to talk to people that have free and clear. Well, you could set sort of a notice when somebody hits that free and clear status on estimate, you know, that you're only notified when it hits a certain percentage. So there's a lot of different automation plays too here where you're not always pulling, you know, lists of 3 to 10,000 people and spending all this money. I have some people that use a product just to make phone calls. They give good phone, as they say. So they're just on the phone, calling highly targeted people, keeping track in their CRM. So I think that's what's sort of fun in my position. And I get to see how different people and their different personality types use the product. They just really understand what they bring to the table and what they're really good at. And they use the data to back into it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it is pretty cool. Because I think at the end of the day, Aaron, it's just to target whoever you want and narrow it down. Because if you have a list of 10,000 names, my God, I mean, are you really going to send out that mailing list of 10,000 names? I think it's my opinion. I always wanted to target anywhere between 1 to 200 people. This way I could at least try to make those phone calls back or receive those phone calls. Imagine if you're getting a couple of hundred phone calls. I mean, unless you have an assistant or a team, that's going to be daunting. So what's happening in the world today with the pandemic? Has it affected business at all for you guys, or how are you guys handling it on your end?
It does impact investors and realtors in very specific ways. In some markets, you know, you're in New York, so you guys are seeing the exodus from the city. I don't count New Yorkers out. Being there during 9/11, I was very inspired just by humans in general during that time period. I was hoping the pandemic was going to be this generation 9/11, and I've been sorely disappointed.
We all have, yeah.
Yeah, but depending on the market. So I build in Florida to build to rent. And it's just wicked hot. So apparently I'm from Boston, but it's really, really hot. So we have to look as real estate professionals for those opportunities in different markets. There's also regulatory and legislative hurdles that we have to pay attention to at the local level. So as an example, here in California, they changed the foreclosure rules with some things that don't even make sense. So you just really have to plug in depending on the strategies that you're chasing, really follow the states. I know it's really sexy to invest out of state right now, but sometimes the local knowledge is what's going to really bite you if you don't pay attention. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. So do you see in the next 3 to 6 months, obviously it depends on what's happening with the pandemic and other situations. Where do you see the market going? I mean, are we seeing possible 2008, 2009, 2010, but maybe not as bad?
Yeah, don't pay attention to those headlines. I think it's a lot of malarkey. It makes a really, really sexy headline that this is going to be a massive foreclosure wave. Now, we are going to have an increase in foreclosures, but remember, a lot of states have had a moratorium at the, well, there's been the federal moratorium, and then you've got states and locals, depending on how the states responded to the pandemic. You have foreclosures that have been postponed since March. So the first ones through were ones that should have gone through that had nothing to do with the pandemic, except that the pandemic stalled them. Yeah. So they should have happened anyway. Any pandemic related foreclosures won't likely hit until the summer of 2021. So don't buy into the headlines. The things first out of the gate are going to be the ones that should have been processed in spring. And they're going to play some catch up. And by that point, I mean, we've been talking about an aid bill since the summer. Now that it looks like we've got the new administration in place, I would expect, you know, in the first month, if not sooner, for us to have some new aid package. It's a global pandemic. It's just really hard to imagine the federal government and Congress being okay with a huge wave of foreclosures with people that really didn't have much control. And I'd like to point out, at the end of the day, your bank isn't holding these mortgages. It's pension funds. So we're all connected, despite what politicians and the media, you know, is going to try to position the haves versus have-nots and us versus them. We're all connected. We really need our government to get together and create solutions that deal with the entire pipeline, from the tenant to the landlord to the banks to the pension funds that hold these mortgages. We really need them to stop playing that game and hopefully give us some good stuff in 2021.
Yeah, no, I mean, because at the end of the day, Aaron, you know, everything, you know, wasn't the tenant's fault or the landlord's fault or anything. I mean, this is something that we didn't see. And then by the time we did see it, and you know, unfortunately, it just, I mean, it was a huge wave that people got sick, people lost jobs. So hopefully, like here in New York City, Aaron, I started seeing a lot of restaurants open. Now they're having these shops outside where people can eat, but you're having maybe 25 to 30% capacity in-house. You know, you hope that it might increase. Yeah, well, that's the problem. Like, are they going to put, you know, heating tanks out on these so-called tents? That's, you know, that's, I mean, we can't have these. And I was talking to somebody about this, about the mom and pop stores that, and you know this, Aaron, they close down. You hope they come back. Now, if they don't come back, you know, that's could be an anchor tenant for some landlord, and now they lost that revenue. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a way, like you just said, that everybody got to work together and somehow try to fix this.
I also want to point out that some of the fuel for the fire that caused the foreclosures last time, I'm an NMLS lender. I just got done with my continuing education.
Congratulations. Keep it up.
Ability to repay, you know, has been in place for over a decade because of, you know, the CFPB and the Dodd-Frank rules.
Yeah.
You know, liar loans just really don't exist in mass. You've also got consumers that didn't tap into their equity like they did last time. They're not buying a bunch
smarter,
of RVs and quads. Some of the worst fuel that fan those flames are just not here this time. And we were also sitting on a lot of equity. We just haven't extracted it like last time. So there could be a foreclosure, but you know, we've had a lot of recent headlines of a lot of companies coming out with vaccines that are in very close to getting released. So I'm very positive and hopeful about 2021. I don't expect a huge foreclosure crisis.
No, that's good to hear. Getting back to Property Radar, you said that agents could use this. So how can agents use this? Now we know investors could use it. So real estate agents can do what on the platform?
Sure. Depending on your market, or, you know, realtors like to talk about a farm, mortgage professionals, you know, they do the same. I presented a couple months ago to the California Mortgage Association, and I pulled up a list of their Wall Street competitors.
Right.
And I'm like, here's what they're doing. Here's what they're funding. Here's their buy box, if you will. Realtors, you know, I hold rentals in Florida and California, and I've only had it happen twice. Our market in California is so extremely hot right now. It disappoints me that I don't see realtors working harder on the buyer's side, sending out letters saying, here's a personal letter. I've got this family. They really love this neighborhood. They want to be here because of the schools. This is their budget. They're pre-approved for this amount. If you hear of anybody looking to sell in your market, will you please contact me? You know, I don't see agents really proactively doing that. The smart ones do, and I've had it happen twice. I think agents' value proposition is changing. I think they're going to have to, in the next couple of years, really focus on off-market deals because inventory is so low in so many of the states. So, you know, around New York, Long Island is an example. It's night and day, the kind of experience. My dad grew up in Long Island, so I know it well. But yeah, so what they're experiencing is very different from the city. So, you know, realtors, you have to pay attention to off-market. Mortgage professionals, you don't. Actually, I talked to one of my mortgage friends, and he's like, oh, it'd be really great, you know, to be able to pull a list based on equity amount. Done. That's easy. That's the most you will. That's the hardest? Okay.
We can take care of that.
So that's part of my mission, is to help people understand the data that's available and how it can be used within their business.
And again, like I said before, it just makes it simpler for you to try to find this data online or go to the courthouse and, oh my God.
I mean, or going to the title, your local title agent.
Company,
this is something that you can do on your own, and you can create dynamic lists that updates depending on specific fields that you're following and your niche. You know, right. We often have a conversation about chocolate versus peanut butter. the data is the peanut butter, but who you bring to the business, the chocolate, is really important. And it's the magic of those two coming together, which is really great. So
I love that.
When people have a very clear sense of what, like if you're an introvert and, you know, why would I talk to you about door knocking? You're going to hate your life.
Right.
You want to focus on strategies that's putting deals together. You want to look at zoning. You want to look at opportunities of upzoning locally where you've been paying attention to the local council meetings and areas that are going to explode with maybe economic development projects. So you're there first. And then you start contacting people who don't live in the area, absentee owners. Or if you are going to contact owners, you know, finding out a little bit more about them and approaching them in specific ways. It's just using the data and backing into whatever kind of niche that you're doing is just so important.
No, that's a great point. You know, and it's funny because when I was looking at your website, you know, I'm looking at all the criteria, then I saw vacancy. I can't remember if I saw any other site or, you know, a competition to Property Radar that has vacancy. How the hell did you come up with that one?
that's a box. The post office, they give information on that to try
to stop. That's great though.
Yeah. To be able to layer that on there is very, very powerful. And one of the cool strategies that I love to give people is the concept my dad taught me about walking the comp. A comp, of course, is a sale, but it doesn't have to be yours. You can watch another investor and what they're doing locally and take that comp as proof that somebody's taking that offer price and walking around to everyone else in the neighborhood. So, you know, that's the kind of being able to use that data and leveraging it to your own marketing is really fun.
No, I love that. So tell us about your podcast.
Oh, the Data Driven Real Estate Podcast. It's new-ish. I've been a creator in the space, in the real estate space for, gosh, going on 15 years. But the Data Driven Real Estate Podcast is dedicated to the industry at large. So we walk around and we've interviewed the chief economist of Fannie Mae. Coming up this week, we have the CEO of T360, which does a lot of consulting and technology. Right. Industry professional, realtor professionals, just bouncing around and interviewing pros where they incorporate data and how important it is to our business.
And can we find that on Apple Podcasts?
Oh yeah, datadrivenrealestate.com, or you can find it on YouTube. We got all kinds of stuff going on.
Oh, that's great. And before we let you go, just a couple of more things. Any books you would like to recommend? You know, you have a book in you. If you wrote one or have one, you do have a book in you. You know that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I read a lot of books, and I'm trying to think of some recent favorite ones. I've been really on a kick about the future. The Big Nine is one that I've recently read about sort of like China versus the United States technology companies and how they're changing how we work and live. I'm very fascinated in robotics and artificial intelligence, on things on how it what I'm constantly thinking is, how is this going to impact real estate? And I'll give you a great example.
Okay.
I've been a lifelong learner. I finished my undergrad at the New School in New York.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, congratulations.
But I finished my last year online. I think the pandemic is only forcing that conversation of remote learning. And Microsoft bought LinkedIn, which 2 years before that had purchased lynda.com. So when you have these professionals creating this online learning, if you have not played in LinkedIn Learning, you have to check it out. I think education is really due for an upset. And if you're in a real estate market that's really dominated by students or is so reliant on colleges, you know, it might be something you want to think about, because it may not matter as much in the future. I'm a nerd, I know.
No, that's okay. So the book you recommend is The Big Nine.
Yeah, it's a great place to start. And I could think of, while we finish up, I'll look at the one that I was thinking of. I'll pull up my Audible.
Yeah, no, I'll put it up on the show notes. And then LinkedIn Learning.
LinkedIn Learning. Yeah, The Future is Faster Than You Think has been a really good read.
Okay. Wait, what was the name of that book again?
The Future is Faster Than You Think.
Wow. Okay.
And then I'm slowly but surely making my way through Principles by Ray Dalio before his new book on the changing world order comes out.
I'm a big fan of Ray Dalio. I've seen him on CNBC, among other things. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what's the best way?
You could always email me at Aaron. I love talking to you because you've got a little bit of an accent. And auditioning in New York, when I used to say Aaron, they're like the girl. I'm like, sorry. Aaron. Oh, like the Old Testament guy. I'm that guy.
Yeah. No, not Aaron. Aaron.
Exactly. Aaron at propertyradar.com. I'm on LinkedIn. And the community.propertyradar.com. If you ever have any questions about foreclosures or data, if you post in there, I will be the one answering to you. I run our community.
No, it sounds good. Well, listen, Aaron, thank you so much for being on today's Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I really, really appreciate it. My God, you gave us great info.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Take care. Well, everyone, that was Aaron Norris from PropertyRadar.com, and he's also the VP at the Norris Group. Aaron, thank you so much for being on today's Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. Really appreciate it. You can find me at peertopeerrealestate.com. That's peer2peerrealestate.com. Check out our website, check out our blog, and check out our shows. Also, guys, before you go, please go to Apple Podcasts. Look for us on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review. Tell us how we can make this show better. And two more things, guys, before I go. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it. Protect it. Guard it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. On behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate, I'm Willie Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and please stay safe. Bye.